Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Yes, who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, so we're going to talk a lot of Texans football with Sage Rosenfels. It's starting in about 15 minutes right
here.
And
Bears football.
No, not Bears football. Oh. Not Bears football. We don't need it. We don't need none of that here in
Bears.
This city.
I love it. It's not our first time to do Bears radio.
No. Bears radio is the best. It's the best.
Dude, okay, so I'm on my underdog fantasy. Do you like this?
Mike Nort.
Over Mike Nort.
Here's the problem with the Bears.
So over under 1.5 total.
He sold hot dogs.
Hot dogs. He was a real hot dog vendor,
sold
right?
It at the same place.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, Buckingham.
It's Fountain. A media conglomerate.
Yeah, I did. I sold hot dogs at the same place.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. So I'm watching. Aaron, do you watch Better Call Saul?
No.
Okay.
I did.
So I'm.
You're way late to this party.
I know. I just started Better Call Saul. It's been something I've been holding off for a long time, and I'm like, I can't stop.
It's the best.
It's really a great show. It's so well done by Vince Gilligan. So anyway, as I'm going through this whole thing, this guy's from Cicero, Illinois, and he's got this shady background. You don't know it all, but he's made it here. But he's like, but they do flashbacks to his background, and then he's kind of a con man. And I'm like, and he's slipping Jimmy. Yeah. He used to fall and slip and collect money from people on ice. And I realize, you know, you are very evasive about your time in Chicago, Illinois.
I used to deliver beer in Chicago.
Having to leave the city of Chicago, it seems. We don't know all the details because you won't tell us. We do know that you were, you know, ran some scams kind of with Odd Jobs Incorporated where you were a handyman and where you'd get checks from old ladies, which also I'm seeing old people with Jimmy. Of course, now Jimmy McGill is the lawyer, but...
He's and doing I'm it like, the right way now.
Golly, I'm starting to realize John Granato is slipping Jimmy. There's a lot of, I feel like
I didn't fall in alleys and then rob the guy. I did none of that.
There were never robberies. There were cons.
Well, yeah, but that, well, it's stealing. Yeah. Yeah.
They were, so you never stole as a member of the Animals, your gang in Chicago you were with.
I didn't say that, but I never fell in an alley. I never did none of that.
I didn't ask if you very specifically did this one specific thing. Would you say that you ever conned somebody?
No.
John, that you ever kind of ran a con? Not a long con like that. But
well, Odd Jobs Incorporated was a con.
Would you say you ever defrauded anyone out of money when you were with the Animals?
I don't know about defrauding per se, but statute of limitations is up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're safe.
Yeah, you know. I don't know about. I don't know.
Slipping Johnny.
Semantically, I'm they not. Call you I'm not slipping comfortable Johnny? With this. I'm not comfortable with this.
You're slipping Johnny.
Semantically, no, I don't. No, I wasn't slipping Jimmy.
Your background's Jimmy. Got a lot of Jimmy McGill in it.
No, it doesn't. No, I think I just let's talk about the all Astros. Right.
Well, okay, I have over 1.5 total bases for Fernando Tatis, and I've got under 0.5 base for Max Stassi. I like that little. That little parlay with underdog fantasy.
I do like that. We got them next after Seattle. Go to San Diego.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see.
But San Diego's played like crap though. They've been falling off the
Fernando
world.
Fernando Tatis versus the real.
But they've
one,
got a lot
Perez.
To play for, which is the problem. But the Astros played well against good teams, so not scared of that. I'm not nearly as scared of that at all.
No.
And especially now, it seems like everybody's back. You do have, just thank God, Jake Odorizzi is pitching in the last game of this series. So you got to win tonight if you're the Astros because Odorizzi's going tomorrow. So that's a problem. You know you don't win You don't have nearly the chance in this series with Jake Odorizzi going in the finale. McCullers against Kikuchi tonight. So that's a nice matchup for the Astros. And then Odorizzi against Gilbert. I don't know that there's a good, you can ever say there's a good matchup when Odorizzi's on the mound. I don't know. In San Diego, it's Valdez against Musgrove. Musgrove was awesome. Awesome, his last start. I think he pitched a complete game his last outing. Greinke,
he can be a problem.
Against Weathers and Garcia against Paddock. But they've really struggled. However, that's a good baseball team. And now that they've played so poorly, they got a lot to play for. A lot to play for. Yeah, in his last outing, how about this? A complete game, 3-hitter, 9 strikeouts and 2 walks. He had in his previous outing, he's actually pitching pretty well. In his previous outing, 6 innings, 3 hits, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks. He didn't pitch that well. He gave up 10 hits in the outing before that. But before that, 6 innings, 5 hits, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk. Joe Musgrove is throwing right now. Joe Musgrove is looking good. Joe Musgrove would be somebody that you would like to have, although you got Garrett Cole for him, so that's not so bad. What is that?
I hate to change the topic because I love the Astros winning. Tom Pelissero tweeted out about 90 seconds ago, the Patriots have released Cam Newton.
Well, I guess that answered your question.
I always thought it was going to be Mac Jones. Bill Belichick does not mess with people who do stupid stuff. I can't tell you how dumb this is. Like, legitimately, every player is told. I've been told this like 10 times by the Texans, and I haven't been out to a practice since the spring. I'm on the list for Tier 2. They tell you every time, you cannot get into this practice if you don't get tested here. The only tests that are valid are here. For Cam to say it was a misunderstanding and he went somewhere else, all that's going to do is piss Bill Belichick off. And Mac Jones is playing well. LeVar Arrington, there's no chance at all that Cam Newton is not the starter. Zero chance. I don't know what y'all are talking about. Okay.
All right. Oh, by the way, not only him, but Keyshawn in the morning.
Yeah, Keyshawn this morning.
Keyshawn's like, oh, this is stupid. Cam is the man. Cam
like
is going to have
a week and a half every morning. For like the last week and a half.
I know.
Every
he's been doing this all, whole offseason.
That's what I'm saying.
He thinks Cam Newton hung them. He thinks the Patriots are Super Bowl contenders because of Cam Newton.
That sounded like Chicago. Super Bowl contenders with Cam.
He absolutely does.
That doesn't make any sense to me. What are y'all watching? Why do you put the cap? I don't understand why the cape goes on so hard for Cam Newton. If you just watch the games and you have no vested interest, it's like, it's not even close. Cam is a very inaccurate quarterback. He is not the same player he once was. It just makes no sense to put all your money in on Cam Newton. Well, if you want to say it's a battle that you, I understand saying it's a legitimate quarterback battle. And so is Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. I get all that stuff. But the way that people treated this, the guy who had the advantage was actually Mac Jones. Where, if you think about this, look, Bill Lazor, who's the offense coordinator with the Bears, he had Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. They were not going to go Justin Fields. They were not, and Justin was not as good in game 2 as game 1. But Justin Fields is the long-term solution and will be the starter there this year. There was no chance that Bill Belichick was not going to consider going Mac Jones. This idea that these former players have had, I heard Marcus Spears and Keyshawn, like, look, we're just on different sides of this thing. Because Marcus said, you know, previously I thought there was no chance it was all going to be Cam. But for Bill Belichick not to name Cam a starter this late in the game, he goes, I'm starting to maybe think this is going to be Mac Jones. No, you know how this works. This veteran, he's done so much for the, you know, for this team. You know what he can do. He doesn't need reps. Dude, Cam Newton, it's like people didn't watch last year. You know what the most shocking signing of the offseason was? How quickly the Patriots gave more money to Cam Newton after last year.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
What?
I thought for sure he was gone.
No.
It's like people forgot that.
Yeah, but it was incentive money, though. The initial report of $14 million or whatever it was, it was about $5 million.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was incentive money. Okay. Does anybody pick up? Who picks up Cam Newton?
Well, so Miami?
Well, so who was the woman who was the woman on the show with Keyshawn this morning? Keyshawn and Jay.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Texans?
What do you mean Texans? Oh, did the Texans pick up Cam Newton? Well, he's a Patriot.
I mean, Davis Mills is not even close to
ready.
Well,
Davis Mills, you have to find out, though. Don't tell me that Cam Newton is going to back up.
But she
said this morning, they were saying who is going to be on their team next year, and they thought maybe Deshaun will still be with the Texans in 2022. The question was Cam Newton, and she goes, no, Cam will be a backup somewhere next year. And they were both like, oh, no way. Cam's a starter in the league. Are you kidding me? Andy Dalton's a starter in this league. Cam Newton's a starter in this. You know what? She might be, not 2022, this year Cam might be a backup in the league. There's a good possibility Cam signs with a team and is a backup somewhere.
Yeah, he will be. Cam is a low-end starter to good backup.
Where can Cam go right now and start?
Well, this late in the game, there's nowhere.
Who has a worse? You know who might need him is the Jets because they don't have anybody behind Zach Wilson.
I don't think you want to have that big a personality in the room with Zach. You need Zach to develop his leadership. You have to remember now, Cam is a massive type A personality, but he's a big personality. Yeah. Players gravitate towards him. They tend to like him. He is going to get a lot of attention.
He might divide a locker room.
He's going to do the dancing on the side, and everyone will have videos of him. And you have to be careful. Like, you have to have a very strong okay, so I'm going through the AFC North. Honestly, you know where he'd be a good fit?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I think Pittsburgh would be a good fit
They think Haskins can actually come into play if
that's fine, but you could have Cam in there and figure out who your backup is. Haskins stunk the last game. He was terrible. I kind of got lost. He was good in the second game, and people were excited, and he was like 9-23. He was awful in his last game.
You want him in Arizona backing up Little Kyler instead of Colt McCoy?
No, I don't think he fits the – well, who is it?
Colt McCoy.
I think that Kyler's a big enough personality that Cam wouldn't be a problem over there. I think Pittsburgh Steelers are the perfect spot because they are bigger than Cam. The organization is. Big Ben is everyone's confident, and like Ben has all the cachet in the world there. Here's another big quarterback who's got a big arm.
How about Carolina, because you're not sure if Sam Darnold is going to make it.
I thought about that. Yeah. Sending him back to Carolina.
Yeah.
He's not your. I mean, unless you want to grow him and try to. But yeah, I think Carolina is a potential.
That's
fit.
A potential. All right, 9:13. We'll talk to Sage Rosenfels about this when we come back. Yeah, we got two segments every week with Sage next right here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, Lance, we got to talk about kids and cars.
Cars for Kids, carsforkids.org. That's the website. You go there. You can look at their auctions they have. And you know what the auctions are? They're for cars that are running and not running. Cars, motorcycles, maybe you're somebody who does a great job of rebuilding vehicles. You may want to get in on this auction because you may find that you can bid on a car and win it for $100 or $200 and then redo the entire thing and then turn it around and sell it or use it for your own car. Maybe you put, a lot of hard work into it and put about $1,500, $1,600 into it, and all of a sudden you got a vehicle that runs for you for the next 3 years and it ends up being a great deal for you. But what it ends up being for a kid is that money ends up helping to fund a kid and make it easier for a young person to get their second shot at a diploma, I should say. And that's what Cars for Kids, that's what they're doing. That's what the concept is. And they work with Houston Can Academy here to make that a reality. They're going to give you a tax write-off when you make your donation, and they will come haul it off your property. You do absolutely nothing. You still get the tax write-off right off the car and not the kid with carsforkids.org.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, before we get to a lot of your for Sage, but we've got a giveaway here. And one of the most entertaining shows, Cirque du Soleil. Back and more exciting than ever. Cirque du Soleil, the sun rises. The thrill of Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas has tickets starting at just $75. at exactly 9:30, caller number 8 at 713-780-3776 is going to win a pair of tickets to see your choice of Cirque du Soleil shows in Las Vegas. It's good until August 2022. So if you go to Vegas, you've got a pair of tickets to go see Cirque du Soleil. If you're not going to go to Vegas, then don't do it. Listen all week for your chance to win, plus one grand prize winner will be chosen, which includes tickets and airfare to Vegas. Intermission is over. Buy tickets now at CirqueDuSoleil.com. Joining us now, for the first time of many, that he will be here every Tuesday, 9:15 to 9:45. Sage Rosenfels, former Texan quarterback, with us here to break down what's going on with the Texans and everything else in the league. Sage, welcome to the show. How are you?
What's up, guys? I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to being on the show this year. And in full transparency, I have not watched a ton of Texans football, probably since Gary Kubiak was let go. I'm not even sure how many years ago that was. I have not watched a ton of Texans football. I'm excited to get back into it. It's something I've really enjoyed in my, I guess, post-football retirement life, is watching film, breaking down film. It's what I did so much as a player. And then going on the radio and you know, trying to discuss what I saw on the film, not speculation, not what could be or whatever, but actually what I saw. You know, what, if the quarterback missed a throw, or if I thought a bad play call versus a coverage, whatever it might be. I'm looking forward to doing that this year with you guys, and obviously this is our sort of intro intro edition to what's going to happen in 2021.
Well, yeah. You missed a lot of fun football during that time.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of fun Texans football that you missed.
And, we know you're on in Chicago, by the way. Yeah, and you're doing Bears football for them. So that's great. We love that. We're all about Bears football here, too. So if you want to talk, we know you're doing that.
Well, it is. I did a sort of the same thing in Chicago, both on Tuesdays. You know, that all 22 film a lot of times comes out late Monday night, early Tuesday morning. And as you guys know, there's only so much you can understand when you watch a football game from television. So for me personally, I really like to get the all 22, sort of the coach's cut up version of the game, and it's, you can be so much more detailed in your analysis. And so I've enjoyed doing that that show in Chicago. Obviously, it's been interesting with Trubisky and Matt Nagy, their offensive coordinator, that I'm not a big fan of his offense. And now, of course, it's Justin Fields, who I've known since he was 17 years old. So it's going to be, well, I should say it's Andy Dalton and / Justin Fields. We'll see how that goes in Chicago.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. And we were just talking about Cam and Mac Jones, as a matter of fact, Sage. And before we get into the Texans and their boring situation, let's talk a little bit about Cam Newton just getting cut by the Patriots and handing the job over to Mac Jones. A bit surprising, but maybe not. Maybe not all that surprising with the way Cam Newton has handled things. It's not really Belichickian the way he goes about stuff.
Yeah, you know, they don't have the exact same style, but I do think Belichick, for the right type of a player, will definitely bend and flex, because he does know at the end of the day you need superstar players, you need really good players to have a good football team. I was a bit surprised. I sort of thought that this year New England might go with a little bit of a mix. Maybe Cam starts the year, but if you felt good about Mac Jones, that would then sort of transfer over to Mac Jones. We've seen that time and time again in the NFL, where you have that veteran as the starter, and sort of depending on how he does or how the team does, they either stay with him if he does really well, and if he does okay or doesn't do great, they move on to that rookie, but sort of give that rookie a month or two of football to sort of watch from the sidelines and learn some things. But, you know, Bill Belichick obviously not doing that. Again, I thought they might use, Cam had 12 rushing touchdowns last year. He had 14 as a rookie. And if you go back into his stats, there's a lot of seasons where he has 5 and 6 and 7 and 4. And, you know, I thought that Belichick was going to get back to, you know, using Cam as sort of a running weapon. Even if he had Mac Jones as a quarterback, you know, 3rd and 1s, you know, goal line, 4th down and shorts type of situation, put in big Cam Newton and let him run the football. But obviously all those ideas are gone. He has decided to go with the young starter, with the young rookie, obviously he has talent, some throwing talent. But, you know, he's played for, of course, one of Belichick's closest friends, Nick Saban. So obviously he had a good feel going into it that this kid was mature enough to be an NFL starting quarterback at a young age. He has shown enough in his practice. And, you know, I think Belichick, he just probably just wants to start fresh, start over. This is our football team. This is our guy. So there's none of that. There's no questions up in New England as to, you know, who's going to start that week. I think he wanted probably the team to be on maybe more solid ground. They know it's a rookie, but they're going with him. And, you know, in classic Belichick style, sort of surprised everybody. I think everybody thought there was going to be sort of the veteran and the rookie. It looks like it's just going to be the rookie.
You know, it's to me, I thought once Cam Newton was out in COVID protocol because he didn't follow the NFL's mandate of being tested at the facility, he got tested somewhere else after he was at a location that that would, you know, create the need for you know, that, well, that test. I mean, basically, he didn't follow the NFL protocol, and so he was out of practice for 5 weeks, just 2 weeks away from the start of the season. To me, I thought that combined with the way Mac Jones had been playing, that was the end of the road for Cam Newton as a starter, because Bill Belichick is not going to be married to Cam Newton based on last year, and he's had success with Tom Brady, who is a guy that didn't look the part and then ended up being the best quarterback that's ever played. I really felt like a strong preseason for Mac Jones was going to be enough to sway Bill Belichick. But it is interesting that Bill Belichick and that organization, you really can't compare them to any organization, because they're going to run their roster how they want, and they always defy what people think is going to be their course of action.
Well, you know, a couple of things here with the NFL protocols for, you know, the COVID and the COVID testing and masks or not masks and all those things. And I'm sure everyone has their opinion, of course, on this issue. At the end of the day, the NFL is a private company or group of companies. They get to make their own rules. They work with the players to make some of those rules, of course, with the collective bargain agreement. And they have decided on, you know, very strict rules for those who are unvaccinated. With all of those protocols and rules and tests, and you have to sit out if you weren't vaccinated, all those things, they do end up being headaches. They do end up being a sort of a pain in the neck for a head coach to not know what may or may not happen with, in particular, the quarterback situation. So you are seeing a lot of organizations, general managers, coaches, releasing guys who aren't getting that, you know, vaccine in some ways, because it just ends up being an issue. It's an issue in Minnesota too. You know, Kirk Cousins pretty obviously hasn't been vaccinated, and he wants the team to give him a whole new meeting room that's three times the size of the current one, just in case one of the other quarterbacks tests positive, so he doesn't have to sit out during the year. The starting quarterback sits out during the year, there's a really good chance that team is going to lose that football game. That's just the way it goes in the National Football League. So, you know, Belichick probably doesn't want to deal with that, in particular at the quarterback position, in particular at a quarterback position that it's not, you know, Tom Brady or a superstar in that role. And so they have decided to move on, obviously, maybe for a couple of reasons, and go with this rookie. And I think Mac Jones is going to be a good player. I think he's going to be a good NFL player. He's not going to be a guy who creates, you know, outside of the pocket. We all know what he is. He's going to be that, you know, classic pocket passer. He's not going to be much of a red zone threat when he's, you know, running around or anything like that. But I think they are looking to move on and sort of start fresh and start over. They got their guy. And yeah, as you said, you know, Belichick is one of those guys that he doesn't care what anyone else thinks. He doesn't care about the politics of what the fans think, or maybe even what the owner might think. He does not care. He's doing what he feels is best for his football team. And that's not even just for the whole season. He does what he feels is best for the football team each and every week, each and every play. He's not scared to sit down a veteran and start a younger guy. And obviously he goes back to, you know, the 2002 season when Drew Bledsoe, a really, really good NFL quarterback, you know, went to the Super Bowl early in his career, had a lot of great years. He was the guy in New England. There was no thought about somebody else passing him up. He gets hurt. Tom Brady comes in, and Belichick just knows. And he went with his gut, and I think right now Bill Belichick is going with his gut again.
All right. When does Justin Fields start in Chicago?
Justin Fields will start when Andy Dalton fails. That's what I think is going to happen. If Andy Dalton comes out there and they start off 3-1 or 4-1 or 5-2, I think it's going to be Andy Dalton's show for, you know, the most of the first year. This is a huge sort of resume spot for Andy Dalton. Is he an NFL starter, or is he just going to be one of these sort of backup starter types of guys? And I know he would like to probably restart his career in a new place and have success and, you know, go after those $30 million, $35 million contracts that everybody else is getting. So I promise you, he's putting everything into being the starter. If he fails or the team just needs a spark or the head coach just decides, well, I've seen enough in practice and games, I think Justin Fields can give us more than Andy Dalton. He'll make that switch. But I do see this as one of those. You got the veteran guy in there. Let's see how he does. If he doesn't do great, we'll throw on Justin Fields and roll the dice. So Justin Fields does have a lot of talent. We've seen in the preseason so far the way he can make plays when that pocket breaks down. He is a very accurate thrower. That's the difference between him and a lot of other scrambling quarterbacks, is that he is pretty accurate, not only when he scrambles, but he's accurate from the pocket. And the question is, how much has he learned in the last, 4 or so months to get him to where you need to be when you're an NFL starter? You also saw a Sam linebacker blitz the other day hit Justin Fields right in the chops, and he had no idea that was coming. That is some young quarterback. That's speaking to me right there. Justin's not quite ready yet, because you have to really understand protections before you understand coverages and defenses and all that. Protections, it all starts there, and you can tell he's not quite there yet with protections, and that's something where Andy Dalton probably wouldn't have missed that blitz.
All right, when we come back, we got Texans to talk with Sage Rosenfels right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll find out what he thinks about Davis Mills and how he plays and how much we'll see of Davis Mills this season, which I think we almost have to. Right now, though, I'm talking about, well, how you bet on it. Okay, now, do you like the Patriots more now or less? Well, you can bet on it at mybookie.ag. I made a bet this morning on LSU over UCLA. I just really like the Tigers going to UCLA and taking care of business. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be, if you're not a football fan, that's fine. You can bet baseball every single day. You can bet on the U.S. Open that's just going on. You can bet on whatever you want. It's unbelievable. They got a casino there as well. They got everything. But football is here. We love to bet on football. And you're getting information all over the place. How are you using that information? Use it at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. And when you make your first deposit, they will double it. At mybookie.ag, bet975. This is something that no other bookie does. So if you're looking to play this football season, if you've never done it before, if you've never been on mybookie, they will double your initial deposit. At mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage Rosenfels with us, former Texans quarterback, and he is somebody who really breaks it down, and he will break it down for us all season long, 9:15 to 9:45 on Tuesday. Sage, we're of the opinion, when you use that third-round pick, your first-ever pick as the general manager of the Houston Texans on Davis Mills, that you, and you know you're going to be bad and a possible really high pick next year, you got to find out what you got this year in Davis Mills. You got to find out whether or not, hey, listen, God bless, if he plays great, you don't have to use that top pick on a quarterback. That would be awesome. But you got to find that out, don't you? So we kind of feel like at some point, maybe after the bye in week 10 or the off week in week 10, that the Texans find out what they got in Davis Mills. What did you see this last preseason game from Davis Mills that gives you some hope, or do you have any hope?
Oh, I have hope. I mean, listen, he is a rookie, and I've said it many times before. If I had to play in the National Football League as a rookie, shoot, probably even a second-year player, I felt I was so unprepared to be an NFL quarterback. There's just so much you have to learn, both offensively and defensively, just understanding the game at a much, much higher level. You know, college football, you're a student and you're an athlete. In the NFL, it is all ball all the time, and there's so much more to learn. So to put him in right away would be crazy. You prefer probably even not to play a guy like this, even in the first season, if you can. Listen, it's not like he's a 4-year starter coming out of a program that's played in big time bowl games and up for national championships. This is not like Mac Jones, right? I mean, I know Mac Jones doesn't have all those starts, but he has played in a program that's played for national championships in the spotlight. At Stanford, he doesn't have that many starts. He didn't throw for 3,500 yards and 35 touchdowns or anything like that. He has really sort of few stats from his time at Stanford. So this is a very raw player. They must have liked him because obviously they must have liked his personality and the things they saw, sort of intangibles when they met with him and things like that. But you can see the tangible assets that he has. You can see that he does have a pretty good arm. You can see that he does have he goes through his reads pretty well. He does some things well, but he's so inexperienced, both in college and in the pros, that then he makes those mistakes. And a lot of times in the National Football League, it's not about the great plays that you make. It's about the mistakes that you make. And you saw it in this last football game. He did make some good plays, but he also has a long ways to go. And then he made, obviously, many mistakes in that game as well. So, yeah, if he's going to play this year, you prefer it to be the second half of the year, the last couple of games. Let him get as much experience on the sidelines watching these other guys, watching Tyrod play. We don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, it's a whole sort of a mess of a situation going on right now in Houston at the quarterback position. And to throw a rookie in there would be unfair to the rookie, in my opinion.
But don't you have to find out what you got before next draft?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the case. And we'll see how the season goes, and again, how this Deshaun Watson situation unfolds as the season goes, or something could change today. We all know that's like a work in progress scenario. So we just don't know how the next 17, 18 weeks are going to go. It would be great for him to get in there for a couple games or three games or four games at the end of the season. But to throw him in there right now with so little college experience, with also, his fair share of struggles in the preseason, this is not the time to see how good this quarterback is. That time is, a few months from now at the bare minimum. It would be really nice if he was in a situation where he could truly sit and learn for at least a year and then, work next off season and be ready for year two. That would be optimal for him. I know, NFL is not what's optimal for the player per se, as far as his development and maturation and growth. So that timeline might be moved up. It would be nice to know more than we know currently from a couple preseason games, how good this kid's going to be, but we don't know because he needs to, again, mentally acquire so much more knowledge before he can become an effective NFL quarterback.
In this idea, people are hitting us up about Cam Newton with the Texans. It really wouldn't make a lot of sense. They love Tyrod Taylor's leadership. They're trying to build a culture in there that is a team-first culture. With Cam, he's got a little me to him in terms of his, his public persona.
But he does. Does Tyrod Taylor have a babushka? The answer's
no. Cam's got him beat in the style department, I guess. And then at some point you want to see what you have in Davis Mills. Cam Newton, this is a team devoid of talent on the NFL level. It's in a rebuild mode. There is nothing that Cam Newton would provide this team other than, maybe you'd be a little more competitive in a few games than Tyrod Taylor. I'm not sure that's even accurate anymore, depending on whether or not Cam can stay healthy. I don't see any advantage for the Texans adding Cam Newton. And I don't see Cam Newton being happy as a below average starter on a terrible team. And frankly, I'm not sure he can be a backup anywhere right now. I don't know that his personality is such that he'll be happy as a backup. But for the Texans, I really do think right now, Sage, it's about seeing who fits your future. You've got a bunch of guys signed to 1-year deals. So this is a tryout for a lot of the players for the player and for the Texans. Some players are looking at this as, hey, it's my contract year all over again, basically. And I think now, I'm assuming, Sage, now is the time that you want to see, okay, who are the guys that we want to throw our hats in with and we want to start going to war with here in the future? That's what they're trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. You look at this roster, and I came to the Texans in 2006, played there 2006, 7, and 8. Came in with Gary Kubiak. I was on that first free agency visit with Anthony Weaver and Kevin Walter. And, you know, I came to this team, came to that Texans team, and there weren't many names or faces that I really recognized. You know, I'm over there playing for the Miami Dolphins for the previous 4 years and up at Washington my rookie year. And I come to that Texans team, and they had Andre Johnson, who was young. They had a couple other guys. Of course, David Carr was the quarterback. But I just didn't really even know who these guys were. They weren't a bunch of famous players. There were Pro Bowlers all over the place, you know. This wasn't the Kansas City Chiefs by any means. And you look at this roster, and it sort of reminds me of that roster. You really are starting over. Gary Kubiak, I think it was a 2005 was a two-win season. Gary Kubiak was starting over with that football team. And that first season, you are trying to find who are the guys that I want to build the future of this franchise off of. Because you're going to have, even if they're blue-collar guys and they're not superstars, what's the culture that you want to create? Who are the guys who are going to put in the work, who are going to make sacrifices, who are going to be team people? So as this, you know, ship sort of progresses down the river here, it gets better and better and better. But it starts off with that culture that you have to start in the very first season. And who are going to be those guys? Who are going to be those guys that are a pain in the neck and complain about playing time or have a negative attitude if they start losing? You don't want those guys on the roster. This team is starting over. Of course, it is the National Football League, which means they can win each and every week. You know, that season, 2006, we weren't very good. We were 6-10. We actually ended up being the Colts, I believe, at the end of that season with a big win. I remember talking to Kubiak after that season. He's like, I sort of can't believe we won six games that year because we were sort of so devoid of real, like, you know, top end NFL talent. But that 6-10 season created a culture that I believed sort of progressed. And as time went on, you know, that team just got better and better and better. They had a few good signs in free agency, a lot of very, very good draft picks, in particular good draft picks in that 2009 season. I mean, that was a really good draft, or sorry, 2006 season. That was like, you know, Owen Daniels and D'Amico Ryans. They had some really good draft picks, of course, Mario Williams. And that you have to build on, and it progressed into, you know, not that many years later, Gary Kubiak taking that team to the playoffs and winning that playoff game. So it does start this season. They're going to try to find the guys who are sort of the culture builders in that building. And it's, you know, it's sort of not that everyone's out for themselves, but everyone's out to try to prove themselves to the head coach, to the general manager, whoever's in charge of the players over there. You know, I want to be in this franchise. I want to be on this football team. I want to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And everybody's going to be fighting for their jobs week in and week out on this roster. There's only a couple guys who are sort of, as we know, are sort of in that Pro Bowl type level. Everyone else should be fighting for their jobs each and every day.
Sage Rosenfeld is joining us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great start. We appreciate it, Sage. No game next weekend, but there'll still be plenty to talk about as we get ready for the opener. One of the biggest games in NFL history, the Texans against the Jaguars in week one. So we are going to really, really be looking forward to that and looking forward to talking to you again next week. Hey, we appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks, Sherman. I'm going to do my best to not have that much sarcasm as I get from you as the season goes on. So.
It'll still fit the show. Don't worry.
No,
just be you, Sage.
That's all. That's all.
No, I listen. I'm as sarcastic as they come. At the very minimum, that football game, we'll see how it goes. To be able to see Trevor Lawrence play in an NFL uniform, that's going to be interesting. That kid's got a lot of talent and obviously extremely turned. He might be more NFL ready than most of these rookie quarterbacks.
I think he is,
including the ones, including Mills that the Texans brought in the third round.
We'll see the last number one overall pick quarterback starting their first game are 0 for their last 11. So hopefully they'll be 0 for their last 12 because I already made that bet on my bookie. And I got the Texans plus the 3. But that's another story for another day. Sage, we appreciate it, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. I got to talk right now about whether you've been in a relationship for years, you're just getting started, you're excited to get back out there, meet new people, whatever the case may be. If you're having any kind of problem getting ready, getting yourself excited about it, GetRoman.com/John. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Roman ready equals confidence, the confidence that you know you're going to rise to the occasion. We're looking at this is an unprecedented time where everybody's getting back out, and you know you're seeing people again, you're out there dating again quite possibly, and if you need help, you've got free 2-day shipping. If a U.S. licensed healthcare professional thinks that treatment, the best treatment plan is medication, free 2-day shipping. Whole process straightforward, discreet. GetRoman.com/John. GetRoman.com/John. Listen, you are going to love. You're going to get $15 off your first month of treatment. GetRoman.com/John. Go there today. GetRoman.com/John. Get started. You will love it. It is awesome. GetRoman.com/John.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, news of the weird. Hey, Tic Tac has banned the milk crate challenge. So TikTok? You won't... TikTok has banned the milk crate challenge, so you won't see... Juju on there. You won't see him on TikTok. Because Juju did the milk crate challenge like a dumbass. You make millions and millions. If I'm a Steeler fan and I'm seeing Juju on a milk crate challenge.
They actually are. It's kind of. It's there's some Steeler fans who are like, let that man live his life. And there are others like, what are you doing, dummy? You're just coming off of a not good year. And why are you doing that?
Well, he did dance well on the logos. I mean, he did do that. He did have that kind of year. Okay. So anyway, you can't see, you won't be seeing Milk Crate Challenge on TikTok anymore. Did you see, apparently, a pile of raw chicken was found on an airport luggage carousel. look at this. This is going around the carousel.
Is it a whole? Is it undone? Is it?
It looks like it was frozen. It's still stuck together. No, it's not wrapped. It's just un.
What if somebody scooped it up like you scoop
TSA
up your?
TSA recommends you not do this. Thank you, TSA. Raw chicken.
Listen, do you know how cool it is down there?
Do you know how cool? The more you know.
Yeah, the more you know. You know how cool it is whenever underneath where the baggage is, you can keep that frozen.
Yeah.
You can keep your chicken frozen. As a matter of fact, TSA may not think you should do it. Mm. I 100% think you should bring frozen chicken. Now, I think you need to have it in a bag, in a plastic bag.
It was just
and then you need to have it in a suitcase. That one's just literally sitting there on the...
And still all the pieces are sitting together.
But if you want to bring some frozen chicken on a flight, 100% bring it. Bring it in a... You know what I'd do? Honestly, I'd just bring it in your carry-on.
You know what? I'd bring it in the carry-on, and then I would ask the stewardess to make it for you, to please heat it up.
Yeah, that's what they like doing.
They do like to. They like
that. Ma'am, I brought my own. I have some dietary restrictions. Could you make this chicken in that little heater thing you have up there?
Here. And then hand her the raw chicken in her
hand. Here you go.
A liquor store security guard was acting in self-defense, Lance. Apparently, a court has found that he shot a man 3 times, and he was acting in self-defense because the victim wasn't wearing a COVID mask. Well, this is the defense by his lawyer.
Yeah.
I think that this... Oh, yeah, the county judge said, nah. People who aren't wearing masks, you can't just open up fire on them. Thank God we've got a judge that has some common sense. The lawyer said he was
threatened. Where is this?
This is in Chicago. This is a Chicago.
Well, this feels Chicago-y. Well, to be fair, Your Honor, the victim was not wearing, the alleged victim was not wearing a mask.
He felt threatened.
Who is the real victim here? The one who potentially could have gotten COVID or the one who got shot?
Yeah.
You know, ask yourself that question. It's a chicken, Your Honor, it's a chicken and egg situation. I think Slippin' Jimmy could have had a shot here to maybe have that thing go his way from Better Call Saul. I don't know why he's Saul yet. Don't tell me. To me, he's still Slippin' Jimmy.
So what do you find wrong with this picture? There is there are three women surrounded by a black man is sitting, uh-huh, and they're eating sushi and noodles and uh-huh, and Japanese food.
Okay,
what do you think is wrong with that picture?
I don't know.
Well, a Russian sushi delivery chain. It's in Russia.
Oh, that's
has
a black guy with the blonde hair is in Russia.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is. The Russian delivery chain has publicly apologized for an advertisement that featured a black man after its owner received death threats from an ultra-nationalist hate group.
Oh, this is a different kind of cancellation.
Yeah. So
it's the other side.
He said, so this hate group that didn't want to see a black man in the advertisement actually prompted the delivery chain to apologize for placing a black man in their advertisement.
So that was the problem.
That was the problem.
Because I don't even know. The whole thing is a little weird. So those are Russian women, I guess?
Yeah, those are Russian women.
Because they had kind of a Russian model vibe.
Yeah, they're Slavic.
Them.
They're Slavic.
Yeah.
So a TV anchor in Afghanistan said, don't be scared about the new regime in place. Yeah. Well, he was surrounded. This anchor was surrounded by armed fighters in his telecast, telling everyone,
"Listen, guys,
don't be afraid.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
Nothing to be afraid
here.
Of all these guys with what? the submachine guns around me.
Yeah,
nothing to be afraid of here.
What has Taliban ever done to make you afraid?
No worries.
I know
nothing
people
to see here.
Literally fell off of a plane trying to fly out of the country, hanging onto the outside of a plane." Nothing to be afraid of here, guys.
Nothing. No. You see all these guys with the guns? They're our friends. I know that they've got them pointed at me right now, saying so I say the right thing, but they're our friends. No worries. We're done. Patrick Creighton is up next. He is taking Charlie Polillo's place here. Who will play first, Deshaun Watson or Charlie Polillo? Who will be here first? Will you see on the field? Or here on the radio.
It's a coin flipper. If this Deshaun thing gets done this weekend,
then it could be
I'm gonna say practice field. Who's going to who will Deshaun practice first?
Will Charlie be on the radio first?
I think that's a fair question.
I think it's fair. It's 9:56. We're done. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, buddy. What we're doing here ain't just scary.
It's about to be legendary. This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.